Good. Okay, so we're holding here in the middle of, we had seen Chaf Hey last time, and the Omer Bechen Shimshon Don is the Shalakavim Shoshamayim, Don Yodin Amoy Keechod, and Bechen said Shimshon Shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikro, Shneme Kishemesh Umogin Hashem Olekim, Elame Ato Lo Yimochik, Lo Yimochik, Elame Ein Shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mon Kolon Kuloi, Av Shimshon Hagen Bedar Al Yisrael. That was the piece we saw, and we saw the Maral last time a little bit about the musig of Don Kavim Shabashamayim and so on. I want to try to be oimid on another nekuda in this. There's something over here that seems a little bit off. We're trying to say that Shimshin protected the Doyer. So why would that be associated with Midas Hadin? In other words, he's saying Shimshon Don Es Yisrael Kavim Shabashamayim, Shnema Don Yodin Amoy Keechod. And then it says that he was Megin Al Kol Olam Kuloi. It's hard to understand. Midas Hadin to us seems to be something which is potentially destructive. There's a good reason to have Midas Hadin, but at the end of the day, it's not something that we'd associate between Megan on the door. Also, it says Rabbi Yochanan is Nikral Shmoish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it says Ki Shemesh U'Mogin Hashem Alekim. Hashem Alekim, Havai Alekim is a Shemesh and a Mogin. So, it's really the calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemesh, and he's Loshen Shimshon, which is very similar. But also, Shemesh is a pchina of din in the literature, Kabbalah. Shemesh is always midas adin. It's something which holds up everything to the light, makes everything crystal clear. It doesn't allow for any nonsense, as opposed to Levana, which is Levana. Shemesh is usually described as being golden. Gold is reddish. It's the color of the sun, and that's Midas Adin. Levana is silver. It's Kesef. It's more Shayach to Midas Achesed. We're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu really comes across more to us as Midas Harachmim. The name Hashem Elokim over here is interesting. Hashem Elokim is a combination of the two. And also, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mogin Kolam Kulav Shimshon Hagim Dor Al Yisrael. Very, a bunch of descriptions that seem to fly in the face of what it is that we would normally expect out of these Midas, these Anhagas. Storytelling, Rabbi Levi Baditchev was the optimal mugging on the door. It was always busy being malamit zchus on the door. So that one would expect to be a mugging on the door. Why would this be? He would be the protector of the door. So I think we need to be aimed on a much deeper nekuda here in what din is, and I guess it will dovetail with Inyan HaDiyoma. The Dharmachal says that, Maimah Chachma, that the reason we went through all of the difficulties was the Brisbane Absarim that ensured that Klal Yisrael would go through a lot of difficulties was due to the fact that Midas Hadin needed to be mefuyas. Midas Hadin is very annoying. It keeps saying, hey, how come the Jews deserve this? And we need to produce some convincing argument. So 210 years worth of Yisurim is a good enough argument to say, well, they suffer this amount for this, and therefore they deserve it. That's pretty much what Ramchal says. Kedarko, very cryptic, but that's what he says. So I want to explain this music, Keshemesh Umogin Hashem Elokim. the Bharatanya speaks about this in, he says it a few times actually, he says in Tanya also, Kishemesh u'mogen Hashem alikim, is the pasuk is an exact description of the relationship of the name of Havaya and Elokim, is like a shemesh and a mogen. In other words, Havaya and Elokim are a relationship of two aspects of Kadosh Baruch Hu, similar to shemesh, a sun, or mogen would be like sunglasses or like those, you know, those things they used when they had the eclipse to protect you from the sun, sunscreen. That's the relationship. And the Havana is as follows. The sun is an extraordinary, boundless entity that radiates light, etc., etc., etc. It's something that the world really cannot absorb and cope with, and is overwhelmed by it. Chesed has a way of overwhelming us in a way that we can't cope with it. Let's give an example. If you give somebody, if you give a child something, so it's nice, at some point, so up to a certain point, giving him something is very helpful, very encouraging. It sort of helps bring out the best. At some point, the child has too much, and then he becomes crazy. He can't handle it. Klal Yisrael cannot handle, not Klal Yisrael, a person who has gevulas cannot handle things that are without gevulas. And that's why it overwhelms the child, and it becomes spoiled and difficult and crazy and meshuggah. You know, anyone who's taken a child to any type of simcha where the child has had, you know, two handfuls full of cookies and he's in his mouth is stuffed with cookies and he's still upset, and it usually ends with a patch somewhere or other. That's the mahalach hativi in these inyanim. I mean, Rifal lives in a more modern country, so it's not a patch. It's a few words of describing boundaries. But b'cholofen, that's exactly the point. It says that when there is too much rain, so we're not allowed to mispalel and say it's too much rain, because then you sound like you are. You're being kofi toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving so much rain, and you're being kofi toiv. So the nusach ha-tefillah is Klal Yisrael cannot handle too little rain or too much rain. In other words, it is our deficiency that had we had bigger clay kibble, we'd be able to handle a lot more. We don't have a big enough clay kibble, so we can't handle it. But it's seen as a personal deficiency because we are Bale Gvul, that we cannot handle more. Another similar type of inyan. It's also about Tanya says this. The Gemara says in Tainis, Varikoizachem brochat belidai, my ad belidai, so I think Rabbi Yechonah says, so Bartani asks, normally Medrash tends to exaggerate the numbers. It wasn't 10 makas, it was 5 times 10. Was it 5 times 10? Was 50 times 10? It's always ki'ilu, the drush is always unfolding more than we have there. But here, the pasuk says, ad belidai means an infinite amount. The drasha is anshe yivlus if sasechem lo madai, until you get tired of saying dai. That's far less than infinite. Whatever it is that it takes to say dai, but and get tired of it, it's still far, far less than beli dai. So why is he minimizing it? So Bartanya says, infinite is not a bracha; it's a klala, because it means we have no kli kibble to be mekablet with. The ultimate bracha is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives fits into a box that's called dai. So I have what I need. I have enough. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives again. In other words, he's always giving into a box that is contained, that has a container, as opposed to just a without gvulas. It has gvulas, but again, there's another. So the effect of unlimited giving is structured within a certain mahalach of gvulas, and that is ideal for a person. That's what Tanya says. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the sun is the source of light and energy and warmth and everything. Direct connection to the sun is overwhelming, and it needs to have a muggain, which is a guard. What a guard does is it limits the sun's rays to a value, if we can call it that, or whatever, however you want to call it, a quantity that it fits us and is shayach to us and we can cope with. So that's a shemesh umagin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world appears first and foremost as Havaya, the one who created unlimited. And that's what the pasuk says. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and said, the rakia was nimtach v'hoylech. It kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, die. So mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the mashpia, which is sort of the primary focus of the world, is something that is like a shemesh. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashpia kefi ein soifoy, and that means that we really, really have a quantity that we can't handle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then put in a mida called dai, which is the shayrish of midas hadin, and that begins to cut boundaries and says, you know, ad kan, and it puts gvulas into the bria. So the Baal Tanya is pasik, ki shemesh umogin havaya lekim. Havaya, the shem havaya, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unbounded giving, and elokim, which is it's like a shade around it. It's something that tempers it, that puts it into a framework of limits. Ki shemesh umogin havaya elokim. So elokim is midas hadin, nature, and havaya is HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he is, b'li sof, b'li gvul, and so on. That's the relationship of havaya elokim being like shemesh umogin.
Is this like be'etzem, meaning is this even in the most ideal sense, meaning even lasted level, like there always has to be this chesed versus din? Or because in the beginning I thought the Rashiva kind of said that chesed would win out. I didn't understand.
So the lasted level, it will have come from the framework of what we had already done. If I can give a mashal, the classic mashal is somebody who gets money as a grant versus somebody who gets money that he earned. But if a person worked hard all his life and he put away money in a pension fund, even if the pension fund is quite elaborate, when he's taking out money from the pension fund, he doesn't feel he's getting something for nothing. So if whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives comes through the lens of our maisim, one second. Hello? Ken? Hey, just one second. Shalom, Yosef? Okay. Tada rabba. Hani bem tashir. Tada rabba lecha. Okay. So, so whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu is mash, so what we get afterwards comes through. It flows through the maisim, so that's it's coming to me because I had done good, and what I had done good gave payers and payer payers and so on. That's the logic of it. Okay. So we have that relationship of a vayalakim, and so anytime, so midas hadin, in it, meaning that we impose on ourselves kalim to earn something, that is something that gives us really the benefit of being mekabel the tov. Let's go back to the mashal of the rainwater. How much rain is bracha? Well, rain is an unlimited bracha, but depending on how many reservoirs I've prepared to absorb the rainwater, depending on how much the aquifers, the underground soil can absorb, that exactly determines the level of the bracha. So if the soil can't absorb much and I don't have many kalim for it, then it turns into a flood. Masha'ein kain, if the more kalim I prepare, the better it is. So anytime somebody imposes, so the imposition of midas hadin on Klal Yisrael is actually something that protects us. It's kishemesh umogein. Shimshon was in that bechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be a shemesh only because you have a mogin. Shimshon Agiba with his din, with his gvura, was the one that he imposed that on Klal Yisrael milamata.
I just don't understand something, because Shimshon, especially things that we've said and also just reading the stories, how does Shimshon, meaning he was always going out and trying to push the envelope further, where do we see the, besides just in Bechina, how do we see it, how do we see that he actually did that, that he was did?
So it says that he, I mean, the Pasuk says that he was Dan Klal Yisrael, you know, and it also, some of the Farshim, I think Masha says, if I'm not mistaken, he went after the Pelishtim as a nekama. In other words, not just saving Klal Yisrael from an enemy, but giving them back what they deserved. Those that are a Muslim of it. It's true that the stories we get in Tanakh focus a lot more on his weaknesses and on the issues, as opposed to this chelik of it. But this is what Chazal are bringing out, this chelik, and despite, you know, pointing out his shortcomings, they're very madgish this part. And this part belongs to Torah Shebal Peh, I guess.
Right, no, I'm saying even mitzad the Torah Shebal Peh, like even what the Maharal discussed in, what we discussed in previous weeks, even mitzad what he did, he tried bringing everything in, part of, he went into the plishim, even in a good way. It was always being mispashit outward, not...
So, correct, no, but it says he was, his last thing was vinokma. He was trying to impose what should be on the son of Klal Yisrael. In other words, what they deserved the ra and so on, and that's what he was trying to do. The concept of being noikim nekama means nekama is tit for tat. It's midas hadin. That's why the Ramban says it's so difficult to refrain from nekama, because it's so human that if he did this to me, I'm going to do this to him. Al Kaponim, let's go back to in your name. Yes.
I still don't understand. I understand in your marshal how I don't understand how Shimshon doing din on Klal Yisrael before made them a kli to be mekabel the bracha. Can you explain
that? Because okay, if I get you into the habit of having to earn your way, Lamashal. Let's say a kid studies in a school where they grade you extremely honestly, and there's no shtick. If you didn't know it well, you don't get a good grade, and so on. So when he graduates, or when he's accepted to another school, he feels, I deserved it. Because since I force you to accountability, so whatever you hold you know, whatever you hold a light, that's yours. If you go to a school where basically they kept giving you good grades because your father's an important person or whatever it is, and you got off, you got grades that were not quite honest, so that person is not, you know, so anything he gets, he doesn't really get. He doesn't see it as belonging to him. So when he gets into the other school or when he graduates, he doesn't feel that what he got, he deserved. The person who forces me step by step to take account of myself, there's a Lashon Chazal on Rosh Hashanah. It says, when you do din lamata, they don't do din lamala. That's the purpose of din, is to foster in ourselves a sense of accountability. And b'meila, the flip side is that whatever we have been graded positively for, we really deserve, and it should be and it should be ours. So by Shimshon imposing strong din on them, they became worthy of being mekabel schar. They didn't feel they were getting for nothing. He was like the mugging, like the shemesh mugging.
Well, what was the schar, though? What was it? I understand the mashal. I don't understand
In other words, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for them, it would be felt that the toiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being mashpi on them, they were able to be coiled it in a positive way. I don't know. I don't have any specifics because there's nothing there about it. But just saying, the musig, when a manhig forces people to stick to standards and holds them accountable. So what we have here also is not only, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very nice to them because they're doing good things, but they themselves, they inherit so much better because they are, you know, shyer to it. That's the point. I want to go back to where we started with Yetzias Mitzrayim and so on. The Rafutna points out many, many times, this is one of his key sodos, it says that the world was being nizom the chesed, the chafav dairis, until Avraham Avinu, the world was, it says Mitzrayim, the world was nizom with chesed. And and that's Keshem Avaya, and b'meila, there were the kil olam chastay, the 26 olam chastay is the 26 dayris that was nizam with chesed. Klal Yisrael, who are mekabel the Torah, they were the ones that turned the tide and began to receive things, or at least had the ability to receive things, mitzad midas hadin, mitzad deserving it. Until that point, it wasn't deserved. You know, there wasn't really a system. This is what you have to do. These are the consequences, and these are the earnings. It was kind of, you know, your keeping a mitzvah was, except for Zayim Zeynach, was Lefnei Meshuras Hadin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. So the world stood on chesed. The Maral says, Bama Eida, when Avraham Avinu asked Bama Eida, it seems the Maral goes to town against all of the, against Rashi especially, who tried to look for other Averis and so on, because they didn't understand the Chazal when they said, Bama Eida wasn't such a terrible, what was wrong with it, and so on. So the Maral explains, Bama Eida is not an Avera, but it's an inherent shortcoming in Avram's approach. Avram was Midas HaChesed, which means you do beyond the call of duty, and that's how people respond to you. So there's a relationship with people where, okay, you're a doctor, I need you at 12 o'clock at night to come look at my baby, and, you know, as a good neighbor, come in and do it, and the person does it for free. A flip side is, your pipe is broken at 12 o'clock at night, you call me in and you say, listen, the pipe's broken and it's flooding, you're a plumber, go fix it. So I didn't translate into any din. He didn't translate din, but it's sort of chesed for chesed. But that's a very, very vague relationship. And it's never firm. There's no firm commitment. But let's say we do it for money. I say, okay, an hour's work of mine is worth $100 here. An hour's work of mine is worth $120 here. That is, I know that I can always, whenever, whatever his shingle says, his office hours open, this time, this is how much he charges. I know always I can call on it, demand it, and get it, and so on. The Midas HaChesed, which was Avram's Midah, is a necessary first Midah. Midas HaChesed, you can't start with Midas HaDin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not have created a world only if the world deserves it, because by definition, you're running around in a circle. The world has to start with, I'm taking the first step, and it is for nothing. It's not because you deserve anything, it's for nothing. That's the step one. The same thing is true with religion, with Torah. A person who's not keeping Torah, you can't get him to keep Torah mitzvahs because it says so in Shulchan Aruch. It's absurd. I can't come to a person who is a chilini and say, I can't understand how you can do this. It's a mefurish mechaber ramot. It says not like that. Doesn't quite. Maybe there are places that can do it. It doesn't quite work. It starts because you feel that any person who becomes a scarif feels that he's taking a step towards something. He's not being forced. He's not, it's a step. And now that is always the first step. The problem with that is that in itself has no lasting power. Every person has a moment when he's very turned on, he's very idealistic, and I want to be a better person. I want to be some of that, the other thing. That's always an impulse. And and tomorrow I'll be in a grumpier mood and I'll be tired and I just won't be up to it. So it doesn't have any staying power. Once I enter religion at my own volition, and then I recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Dan and the Dayan and the Din, and I shtel tzu, then I have the right relation, then something's going to stay, something's going to last over here. That is the mahalach of how the two work together. So again, the din becomes...
Isn't it the other way around? Kimu the kiblu, or that's exactly the both there?
So over there, it started with an outside hechreach, which is never good. The right mahalach is that I start from Rotson. Let's give an example. A person gets married, so it's an obligation. And a marriage that starts, that is just based on what the Western world calls love, no matter how infatuated you are with your spouse, it's going to disintegrate someplace, because that doesn't have staying power and has no hechreach. So marriage and ksuba is kind of a very, very strong midas hadin, an obligation. But you can't start it that way. It's interesting. It's sort of written that and he wanted vitzavi. There has to be, so I start because I want this person. What I do with that rutzen is, and therefore I put myself into a binding relationship. So ideally, and the Kofleim HaGigis had that problem, that the Kofleim HaGigis was Nesherish, and Bemela, but Hoda Kimu V'Kiblu means, the Kiblu means they accepted the burden on themselves, but they accepted it from a love. So if a person got married because somebody forced them to get married, it's a society where somebody sort of signed him or her away, so the person might bridle at it at some point and say, I was forced into this, I never wanted this. But the ideal is the person makes a decision because he wanted to, and the decision means that he takes it upon himself as an obligation to care for this woman, to support her, to care for emotionally, and so on and so forth. So till the others as a whole, since Avraham Avinu is the sort of the paradigm of the Avos, it was a mahalach of Ava Chesed, which is always a start. It's the appropriate starting point. But the question of Bama Eda was a genuine question. This Mahalik is not going to last. I think, you know, it's one of the paradoxes, but I think it stems in a more modern Orthodox society, you take teenagers and you stress idealism, fight for justice, fight for Klal Yisrael, help people out there. You know, there's a lot of ruach and so on and so forth. Come 10 years later, so that this is when they're 18 or 17, go here, go there, do this type of good activity, that type of good activity. Everyone's their own little corner doing their own thing, and that's it. In yeshiva, the stress is first to sort of get into the halachic system, both in terms of learning it and in terms of feeling it, very close on the heels of idealism is also, this is what it says, you can't do differently, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of, this is the way it is. And at first you would think, well, that's not going to stay. But if it's done right, that has much more staying power. And that's why people in the yeshiva world who are into chinuch, kirov, etc., they tend to populate that world because they came into it at an age out of obligation. It's not just, when a person's 18, he's full of ava. He's full of, wow, I'm going to change the world and this, that, or the other thing. When a person gets older, the sense of responsibility and obligation is the dominant sense. And that's why if we can get a person that age, now you can cut corners at both ends. If you just have this, it says so, and a person never had his heart in it, he'll find ways how to get around it, either drop the whole thing or chip away at it or whatever. There's no, you need both. You need Ovis, and then you need Yitzhak Mitzrayim/Matan Torah. But he asked Bama Eda, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the process through which there will be some sort of deserved going into, you know, Eretz Yisrael, the Yisurim and everything that they were kainik with. And most important, Matan Torah, which was a system of imposing the same things that Avram had done freewillingly. Avram Avinu had gone into Yiddishkeit, Beretzono Hatov. He recognized it to be true and good and right and did it. But that could never, you were never assured of its lasting. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu then transformed it into or added to it the layer of Torah, which is you have to, that's when the two come together. So the process of going from Ovis to Bonim of Matan Torah and Yitzhak Mitzrayim as a whole was that process.
Can I ask you a question? According to this, I misunderstood. Does that mean that according to this Mahalik, Klal Yisrael didn't do anything wrong to deserve Yitzhak Mitzrayim? We needed it just because we needed Din to outweigh the
chesed? Well, that's what the Maral says. That's the Maral's Mahalik. The Maral says the B'mo Eda. Chazal say, you know, what did he do wrong? And one sheet is B'mo Eda. And the Maral actually explains that it, the three things that Chazal say, Osan Gaya B'tamei Chachamim, B'mo Eda, and so on, all three of them come from the same Sheirish. It was a shortcoming of that. And let's take another example, a parallel, something easier to understand. Every, let's say a business enterprise or a movement, every business enterprise starts with a brilliant idea. Every movement starts with a very noble ideal. Whether it will last or not depends on whether an administrative phase gets in or not. So the person with the great ideal who doesn't know how to run a movement will fizzle out. There'll be a phenomenal success, and then everything will splinter apart and fall apart in a thousand ways. Person has a brilliant idea for a business, and doesn't run a, know how to run a business, or doesn't bring in someone who can run the business, it will explode, and someone else will pick up the pieces and run with them. That's tried and proven. The everything needs to have those two midas together. Nothing starts. Administration never starts. A great organizer, administrator, etc., if he has no product to sell or no new idea in the market, is not going to do much. On the other hand, the type of creativity, initiative, and so on doesn't have listing power. In Ruchnius, and which is the important piece we're talking about, the type of Adam Elyon that Avraham Avinu was, the higher, nobler person that reached up in Shemayim and saw what an ideal world is supposed to look like, could uncover that world. But that Mahalach could not perpetuate it. You needed to have the children coming through a next phase to perpetuate. So the Mo'eda, that's what the Mahalach says, the Mo'eda is a reflection of Avram recognizing his own shortcoming, and B'meila Kadosh Baruch Hu putting in the phase that will enable it to become permanent.
So he was correct. Avram was 100% correct.
Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu was answering him. He said B'meida, and Kadosh Baruch Hu said here. And he says the word chata that Chazal mentions doesn't mean sinned. It means missed the target, shortcoming. It says, like it says in the pasuk, lachta samatara, means to the shortcoming of the goal, and it's people tend to go from extreme to extreme. It used to be once upon a time chinuch was you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, because people smarter than you said so, and you have to. And one day somebody woke up and says, I really don't have to, and that sort of disintegrated. But then the pendulum swings the other side, and everything is all about what I love and what I want and what I aspire and what I feel, like a Kalbach type of thing of mentality. So it's beautiful for getting people turned on, but it has zero keeping power that a person begin to do what he's supposed to do. It's sort of, unless you say, well, and I'm obligated. If your Ava understands that Torah obligates you, then the two go hand in hand.
So why didn't the Din of Yitzchak already do this?
So Yitzchak was a precursor of it. That's when actually this whole process started. But it wasn't strong enough. How much and the weight of things, I don't know. You know, in other words, that's how Shas was burned. But at least understanding some sort of sense of it.
So even according to Maral, that they're calling it a miss, what the Chazal was calling it a miss, what were they expecting? What should Avram have done not to have missed?
I don't think it could have. It's the pshat. It was natural for him to ask this question because that's his midah, and b'meila the next phase came once Avram had articulated it. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the next phase. In other words, it was a shortcoming expressed in those words, because those words were the natural expression of something like Midas HaChesed.
But had he not said it, would there not have been a Golas Mitzrayim?
I think it's more almost, it's like when you play out something and say, well, he's going to say this and say this. I don't know what would have been. But the point is, this is what was. It was a natural expression. Could Avram have perfected himself with this? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's hard enough to know what is. What could have been is really okay. So Chakash v'Sameach, and Emes Hashem, I guess the first Thursday in Iyar. I'm not sure when that is. So right now we're before Pesach yet, so everything is kind of up in the air. But Emes Hashem. The first Thursday, it was in, yeah, we'll be back again this session. Okay, Chakash v'Sameach.
Chakash v'Sameach.
Hmm.